Anybody love Him more than anything this morning? Anybody love Him more than anything this morning? You can applaud Him. Amen. It's all right to give Him worship. It's all right to give Him glory. He deserves it. How many know He deserves it today? He's been good to you. Amen. He's been good to you. He deserves your worship. He deserves your praise. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. On this first Sunday of Advent, as we look toward the coming of the Christ child. Are y'all excited about the coming of that the Christ child came for you? Amen. That's why we say we love Him more than anything. I love it. That song that we just added, how Jesus went to Calvary. Y'all know that's just the standard Easter. We sing that at Easter. But how many know you can't have Easter without Christmas? Amen. Easter and Christmas, they go hand in hand. And that's why, look, He went to Calvary, but He had to come in a manger first. And we praise God that He came for us. I'm so glad that He came just for me. Aren't you glad about that today? Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Let me once again, Brother David, welcome you again. But I want to welcome you to Encounter Life Church this morning. If you are our guest online, if you're a guest in the house, can we give all of our guests a round of applause this morning? Amen. Amen. We don't take it lightly that you've come to worship with us today. We are excited to have you. We're excited to have you in the house. We're excited to have you in your house. Amen. It's so good that you can worship right wherever you are. And we want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel the love of Christ. Even if you're not in the physical building, we want you to feel us extending our arms to hug on you and love on you. And let you know that we're glad you chose to worship with us this morning. And as a pastor here, my prayer, my ultimate prayer is that you don't get more information this morning, but did you experience transformation? Because listen, we can give out a whole lot of information, but if you got information and it doesn't lead to transformation, then it doesn't mean anything. Amen? And that's why we call ourselves Encounter Life Church. Our prayer is that you encounter God's presence, discover your purpose, why He has you here. He has you here to be in relationship with Him. And once you discover that, you can experience His power in your life. And His power is a transforming power. His power is a power to transform you, to move you from where you are to where He wants you to be. Amen? He loves you. I'm so glad that He loves us just like we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. Amen? Amen. So we pray that you are transformed by the power of God this morning. We are excited as we get ready to start our new series this morning. I don't know about you all, but that old song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. My kids know. They know that daddy's like, good gracious, bro. Yeah, they know. I'm the Christmas dude. You know, we got the Christmas movies going and on. And then the other day, they're like, what is he doing? I'm downstairs in the basement. So y'all know we moved recently, so my Christmas decorations, I couldn't find them all because it's that time. You know, I'm like, I'm looking at my street. Nobody, I'm going to be the first one to get mine up. And so I'm in the basement. I'm trying to pull stuff out. I made a mess. The basement stuff was everywhere. I found my wreaths, my lights. I found my Christmas tree. Amen. And so I got the stuff out. We got our stuff out. I'm excited about it. I went to my sister's house. Most of you know who are here. Some of you who don't know, my sister and I live directly across the street from each other. It's kind of crazy. But it's fun, though. It's really fun. So what we do, the other day, I went in their house. I knocked on the door. Me and the kid walked across the street, and I walked in. And Day, my niece, Anika's daughter, was on a computer in the front room. I said, Day, what you doing? Making out my Christmas list. And Lord, Damon, I feel for you, because that list was real long. That list, if she get everything on that list, Lord, have mercy. But she was making out her list, amen? And I praise God for this time of year that we always focus on our kids. They're excited. They're looking about what they're going to put on their Christmas list. But, you know, it's not about the gifts you get under the tree, but it's the gift who came to hang on the tree. How many know about that? Amen. Amen. I'm so excited that He became God with us. God with us. And if you got here earlier today, you saw that video that said with us. What if Emmanuel, the word Emmanuel, really means what it means? And though over the next 4 weeks this week and the 3 weeks to follow, we're going to be coming from a series called With Us. With Us. And we get that title from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And he said his name will be called, the virgin will be with child. And we'll call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Which means God with us. Also in Matthew chapter 1, where we'll be looking at today. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And we pray that your hearts are blessed by the word this morning. Before we get started, can we just open up in a word of prayer? Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for this day, for this opportunity to share your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll challenge us, but more importantly, that you'll change us. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, we love you more than anything. Thank you for coming for us. Thank you for redeeming us. So, Lord God, that we had a debt that we owed that we could not pay. And thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for us. And as we come to this time of Christmas, this season, so easy for us to get distracted. Some of us overextend ourselves. Help us not to lose sight or lose focus on what the season is really about. That Jesus truly is the reason for the season. And as we embark on this next 4 weeks to look what it means to have God with us, I pray, God, that it'll be a cause of worship, that'll be a cause for encouragement, that it'll bring about change in our lives, that this Christmas and this Advent season be like none of the other ones before for us. We praise you. And we come anticipating for you to say something today to challenge us to bring about change. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 18 through 25. Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25. And our series is titled, With Us. With Us. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. It says, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until the son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Can we look at verse 23 once again? Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This morning, we are coming from the topic, He is here. He's here. And this morning, I don't know about you, that we live in a world right now, we need God to be with us. We need God to be with us. There's so much drama going on in our community. As I look, you know, I work in the inner city, and we see the violence that goes on in the inner city. Not too long ago, I don't know if you all remember, one of the Washington Commanders, I almost called them the other name. Y'all remember the Washington Commanders? One of their players was shot while he was trying to be carjacked down on 8th Street. And they shot him, and it could have ruined his career. God spared his life, praise God. And they found out the boys that shot him were like 14, 15 years old. Then the other day I read in the newspaper, one of the young men who shot him was wanted in a homicide of another young 15-year-old boy who was shot and killed on his porch in Northeast Washington, D.C. And I just look at the violence, and I look at in our community. Then you go across the water, and you look at what's happening in Ukraine and Russia and across our world. You look at racial tension, and you say, God, we need you with us. And I'm so glad today, but God is with us, but he's calling us to be his agents of change in this world. God is with us. Why is that important? Now, verse right here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 28, verse 23 is quoting Isaiah 7:14. It says his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. My question to you today is, why is that significant for you? God with us, that means that, you know, when we think of God, usually we think of him as out there. God is up there and we are here. But it's really important for us to know that God is not just in the heavens. He's right here with you. He made himself accessible to you. The God of the universe, this is the beautiful thing about God. This is the beautiful thing about Christianity. When you look at all other religions, every religion is man's effort to reach up to God. But when you look at Christianity, it's God's effort to reach down to us. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that we might have the righteousness of God, become the righteousness of God. God reached down. God came to be with us so that he could redeem us. And why is it so important? This morning, it's a cause of praise. It's a cause of worship. Last week, we talked about him having an attitude of gratitude. One thing, if you ain't thankful for anything else in your life, today, be thankful that God is with you. Be thankful that God became man so that he can live with you, so that he can redeem you. Today, we're going to look at four things, the significance, what man need, why we need to know that God is here. Somebody say, God is here. When I say he's here, he's not just out there. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's here. And what does that mean? To know that God is with us. When I say God is with us, we got to go back to who we're saying is with us, God. We got to look at the nature of who God is. What do we know about God? We know that he's omnipotent. That means he has all power. That means all power is with us. We know that he's omniscient. He knows everything. We know that all wisdom is with us. To know that his nature, that love, that he is like, they said, God is love, that his love is with us. It's not something that I got to earn. It's with us. And he reached down. Why is important? Every human being needs to know the significance of him being here. And today, God gave me an acronym. Y'all know I'm going to go with an acronym today. It's one of my favorite, one of the hymns that we sing, oh come Emmanuel. Y'all know that hymn? That hymn may be one of the oldest hymns. It was originally, in its original form, written in around 800 AD. And it had seven verses to it in the Emmanuel portion. And each verse, it would say one aspect of the Messiah's deity, one of his nature, some of his divine nature would speak of one aspect in seven verses. And then 7 days before Christmas, they would sing a verse on each day on up to Christmas. And the one we're looking at, Emmanuel, God with us. Why do you need to know he's with us? Number one, listen, I'm going to start with the last one. I'm going to start with the end in mind. You need to know he's with us. You know, when you know he's with us, it gives you hope for your future. To know he's with us gives you hope for your future. G.K. Chesterton said it like this: God became homeless so that we can find a home. What you need to know, a lot of time we talk about, Jesus came so that we might have a home in heaven. Yet that's at the end, but I want us to start with it, with that. Why? Because that's settled. That's settled to know that, listen, you can have hope for your future, though there might be a lot of bleak nature right now, that the world might be in turmoil. But listen, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He has a home. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you might be also. And so, the Bible says if we have hope only in this life, we are all men most miserable. Having God with us means, listen, that I have a hope that this is not it. That I got a home eternal in the heavens. Listen, I've got a building. When this earthly tent is destroyed, I've got a building not made with hands. How many are looking forward to that day when there's no more sickness, when there's no more death, when there's no more sin, when there's no more turmoil, there's a home, there's a place where streets are lined with gold. Listen, today you need to know you got hope for the future. Because sometimes the present don't look so good. But God said, listen, I never made you or designed you to stay in the present. Do you know God designed you for eternity? He put eternity in the hearts of men. Today, you need to know, it's important. Every person needs to know that this is not it. Do you know when a person thinks that this is all there is? I just finished reading through the book of Ecclesiastes. When you think of that this is all there is, when you think that everything is under the sun, that could be a depressive life. But to know that, look, when this is over, I got hope for my future. That I'm going to go to live with him forever. Matthew 26, verse 64, Jesus replied, yes, it is as you say, and in the future you will see me, the Son of Man, sitting at God's right hand in the place of power and coming back on the clouds of heaven. We need to listen, and I love it because the Bible says that we who have that hope, people who live with that hope, purify themselves. When I know I got that hope, it makes me live different. Sometimes people, Christians, get accused of being so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I would submit to you, unless you're heavenly minded, you won't be earthly good. God is calling you as a believer, a follower of Christ, to live with heaven in view. Why is that so important? Because I know I didn't come here to stay, so I need to maximize the moment while I'm here. See, when I live with heaven in view, when I know there's hope for my future, I want to be prepared so when he comes my day, I can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the little bit I give you. I'll make you ruler over many. Today, he is here. Jesus Christ coming to earth. Why is that important? Why do you need to know that? Because him being here, God, him being God with us, gives you hope for your future. Amen? But not only do you have hope for your future, him being here, him being God with us, allows you to be able to experience intimacy with God. That means that you get a chance to know God and be known by God. Now, him being God with us, he became like us in every way except he did not sin, so that he can identify with you. Him being God with us means that now you can have intimacy with God. You can be in relationship with him. Now him being God with us has allowed you to be able to have access to the God of the universe. Do you know God created you? If you did not know this already, here or at home, if you didn't know this already, God made you and designed you to be in intimate relationship with him. We were all made to be in intimate relationship with him. He said God made man in his image, in his likeness. There was no sin. But what God did, he gave you and I a choice. He gave us a free will. And in our free will, pride got in the way and we sinned. And by one man, sin entered the world. And death by sin. So death passed on all of us. We are separated from God because of our sin. And so we're in a position. We're born in sin, and we were born out of position from the way God created us. You are made to be in intimacy with God, but our sin has made that impossible. So God with us, Emmanuel, came so that he could restore you to the relationship you were made for. See, God wants, he wants to know you intimately, but he wants you to know him intimately as well. He wants that close, intimate relationship with you. He wants to walk with you moment by moment. Listen, the other day, I pray he doesn't mind me sharing this. Brother Cornell, we were talking yesterday at our small group met at our house, and we had a little conversation. He was like, Pastor, he was talking about, you know, just time with the Lord and how to get closer with time with the Lord. And he said, you know, one of the things that I struggle with sometimes is prayer life. All of us do. He said, sometimes my prayer life is, you know, not as long as I like it to be. And I told him, you know, one of the things that I learned about prayer life, sometimes you think I got to sit down and pray. Let me pray. You know, if I pray for 30 minutes, I had a good prayer. I said, but you know, your prayer is a conversation with God. Sometimes with my wife, I might call my wife and say, hey, babe, I'm on my way home. I might talk to her 30 seconds. And then I might call her and talk to her for 30 minutes. And then I might call her. If anybody knows who her knows, if you've ever been a client of hers, I call her almost all the time. She's like, will he let me work, please? Because sometimes intimacy is, I don't always have to be on the phone with you for 3 hours. Intimacy is, I have a nature of our relationship, it just flows. See, having intimacy with God means, listen, today, God, as I'm walking along my day, something happened. I was in a car, I'm in traffic. God, let me get to work safely. Intimacy with God is not me one time, let me make sure I had an adequate prayer time. Intimacy is walking with him moment by moment, a daily conversation as I walk through my day. Father, give me, which route should I take? Father, this lady on my job is getting on my nerve. Give me the patience not to go off on her. Listen, God with us made that possible. For you to know God that well that you can call him up. Call him up. He's on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. For you to know, for you to be known by God. I love a song, Torrin Wells says, I'm fully known. I'm fully known by him. I'm fully known and loved by him. Intimacy with God. That he can know me and still love me. Some of y'all, if y'all knew everything about me, you may not love me. One thing I love about God, he knows everything about me and he still loves me. That's why God with us is so important. Listen, to be able to walk with God in the rhythm of life, that I can talk with him and I can walk with him and I can speak with him for an hour today, and tomorrow it might be 5 minutes, but it's in a flow. Why? Because I have a close relationship with him. Intimacy with God is possible. It gives you our ability to know God and to be known by God. That is why God with us is so important. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. Listen, the God up there became the God in our midst. So that you can know, listen, he is the image of the invisible God. And now once you get to know him, you know him, the Father. To know God and to be known by God, he is here. Somebody say, he's here. He's here. The fact that he's here gives you hope for the future. The fact that he's here allows you to experience intimacy with God. You can know God and be known by God. But the fact that he's here is so important. Why? Because he removes all of my sin and my guilt away. He removes all of my sin and my guilt away. Y'all know that. Last year we had a play. He was born for this. How many know that's why he came? To take away your sin. See, the reason why we can have intimacy with God now is because why? He's removed the sin and the guilt. What happened? The sin blocked the intimacy. It kept us from being close with God. And when Jesus came to pay for your sins. He came to remove them as far as the east is from the west. They never meet. They never meet. He didn't come to, it wasn't a temporary thing. It was a permanent thing. Listen, when he looks at you, he sees you have been justified just as if you had never sinned. Isn't that awesome to know? He removed my sin and my guilt away. What does that, mean today that when I fall and when I mess up today that now I'm in trouble? No, he said, he took away my sin. God made him who knew no sin to become sin. For me, that I might become the righteousness of God. And though I am dirty, rotten, there's nothing that I could have done to earn it. Listen, God said, by the wages of sin is death. And he's established that the only way sin can be paid for is through a blood sacrifice. So he was born in a manger with humble beginnings. He became, God of the universe became like us so that he could come. He could live on this earth for 33 years. Go through everything that you go through in life. Experience betrayal by friends. experience temptation from the enemy and do all of that and never sin, because he had you in mind. He had you in mind. He knew that the only way to restore you to the relationship he created you for is to have your sin and guilt removed. And if he gave in, then he can never have that relationship restored. So he had you in mind. So he never sinned. So that he allowed us to put him on a cross. And he hung there and he bled and died so that you could have your sins forgiven. You need to know today that God with us means that, listen, all of your sin and your guilt has been removed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And you know what? Now that you have received the forgiveness and your sins have completely been removed from you, now he's given you the message of reconciliation. God, what better message is that? What better message is that? You know, once again, we were at our small group yesterday, and someone asked the question, look, when you're sharing your faith with somebody, should I go out there and share the good news with them now, or do I need to prepare myself to get more information to be prepared to answer any opposition or questions that I have? I said, you don't even need to know all the information. You don't need to wait to share the good news. Look, the good news is Jesus removed my sins away. I don't even need to know a whole lot of other details. All I need to tell him is I was once blind, but now I can see. And knowing God with us, that he's removed my sins away, now that I've got access and intimacy with God, I got a hope for a future. Now he's calling you to be a messenger of that same truth. The world needs to know God is with us. God is with us. Listen, O come, Emmanuel leads to go tell it on the mountain. Once you know that God is with us and the significance of the God of the universe being with you, we need to go tell the message that, listen, you need to have your sin and your guilt removed, and Jesus is the only way that can happen. That's what this season is about. That's what God has called us during this time, to be different from the world that we're living in, where everybody, listen, the world around you, the media, is trying very hard to get your focus off of what Christmas is really about. They're not even calling it Christmas no more. You can't even say Christmas. You got to have a holiday party. You can't say Christ. They take truly taking the Christ out of Christmas. They want to get you all focused. But we live in a world that is tainted and wounded by sin, and they need to know that Jesus came to remove your sin and your guilt away. That's what Christmas is all about. God with us. He is here. Somebody say, he's here. He's here. The fact that he's here gives you hope for your future. The fact that he's here allows you to be able to experience intimacy with God. The fact that he's here, you can have your sin and your guilt removed from you forever. Isn't that good to know? That my sin is gone forever? Meaning that if I cuss somebody out today, I'm not going to hell today. Amen. If I messed up today, if I did the most heinous thing, listen, if I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I truly, truly mean it, he forgives me. Me being right with God, his forgiveness of my sin has nothing to do with me earning it. You can never earn it. That's why being a follower of Christ is so different. I told you, everybody else is trying to reach up and earn it. God says, forget it. You can't earn it. I got to reach down to you and give it to you. And if God takes it, give it to me, who can take it? If God gave me the forgiveness, if he gave me the life eternal, how can he? Nobody can take it away. You can't do nothing to lose it because you didn't earn it. It was given to you by God. Man, that's a freeing thing. And when you recognize that, that is to know you can live in freedom. They're like, listen, I messed up today, but God ain't just mad at me. He's not mad at me. He already knew I was going to mess up before I messed up. That's why he had to come to be with us. He knew I didn't have what it took. He knew I didn't have the ability to keep all of it my own. That's why God became with us. Jesus kept all of the law. He did all of it. Listen, so that I could take his righteousness and he could take my sin. He's here, y'all. But not only that, it's good to know that you have hope for your future. Oh, man, it's exciting to know that I can have intimacy with God, that I can have access. Now I can boldly come before the throne and talk to him. If it's 5 minutes today, it's 5 minutes. But sometimes it might be 5 hours. How many know some of y'all had some of them days where you had those arrow prayers, where you talked to God, it was a minute, but then you had one of them mornings you couldn't get off your face before him. God said, I'm giving you that kind of access. You can come into my presence whenever you need it, to know you have your sins removed from you. But finally, here, y'all, if y'all haven't picked it up, the word is here. The acronym is here, H-E-R-E. The final thing to know is, listen, you can also enjoy having God as your constant companion. Isn't that good to know? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now that God is with us, God is here, you can, listen, you have hope for your future. That's settled. I got heaven. I know I can keep heaven in view. And now I can experience intimacy with God. That's relationship. I can come to him. Then I know I have my sins forgiven. But what I need in my everyday is to know he's with me moment by moment. That he's my constant companion. That he does all the heavy lifting. That I can cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. I love it in Matthew chapter 28. Listen, at the end of the Great Commission, what does he tell him? He said, listen, I'll be with you always. And be sure of this, Matthew 28, verse 20. Be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to leave you. No matter what you're going through, no matter how dark it is, I'm not going to leave you. When your friends leave you, I won't leave you. When your family start acting crazy, I won't leave you. When I have no money in my pocket, I don't know how the bills are going to be paid, I won't leave you. I will be your provider. When you don't know what road to take, I will be your shepherd. I will guide and order your steps. When you're lonely, listen, he said, when your mother and father leave you, I'll take you up. Oh, it's so good to know that he's a father that will never leave you, to know that you can enjoy him as your constant companion. And this season, and this holiday season, you know, it's Monday. I said it at the beginning, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But if I could be honest, for many people, it's the most loneliest time of the year. It's a time where people lost loved ones. Time where people, listen, where people are buying Christmas presents and I don't even know if I can keep my lights on. And when I see everybody and all the festive and enjoying going on, people are lonely, people feel alone. I'm here to tell you, it's good to know that when you feel alone, he said, you don't ever have to feel alone. That yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear evil. Why? Because I will be with you. My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you. Today, no matter where you are, God with us means that you have him as your constant companion. I need to know that every single moment of every day. Because sometimes you feel alone. Sometimes the burden seems too heavy. Sometimes the task seems too great. And God said it is. That's why I'm your constant companion. I'm the one. We just said our last series, impossible is where I start. I don't want you to forget I haven't left you. You got intimacy with me as possible. Sometimes we don't use our access. Sometimes we don't use the access. We got the access, but I wanted you to know I ain't gone nowhere. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm your constant companion. Look, you said I'm right here with you and will never leave you. I was reading a story and when I was preparing for this, it was about these two little boys. They were 8 and 10 years old, terrible little boys, hard-headed, always getting in trouble, always getting in trouble. And they would go to Sunday school, and they would tear the Sunday school up. And one day, one of the ministers said, I can't take it. I can't take it, these little boys. They tearing the Sunday school up, and they had one. Anybody ever have a Sunday school teacher? You got that one Sunday school teacher that can get everybody straight. Yes. Y'all remember that? Yes, Lord. I remember. Listen, my aunt, Sister Mary, anybody who know Miss Sister Mary, if you grew up Sunday school here at this church, Miss Elaine, you know what I'm talking about. Where's Kenya? Mary never raised their voice. She ain't had to yell at nobody. But I here to tell you, had anybody been pinched by Mary before? I'm a child. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. See, you could pinch and spank children back then. But Mary never got, but there was always one. You could have one class, Sunday school, the kids everywhere. Mary never had no trouble. Well, this Sunday school class right here, these two little boys, the superintendent said, I want to take them to the minister that never has any trouble. And they sat them down in front of the minister. And he's trying to figure out, first of all, do these little boys know the Lord? And he said, where is God? He had the oldest one in there, and he asked him, where is God? And the boy wouldn't answer him. And he looked at him. The boy, you know, he made an attempt to answer, and he said, well, it wasn't good enough. He asked him in a more stern voice, where is God? And the little boy said, like, oh, I don't know how to answer this question. He said, where is God? The little boy just bolted out the room and ran and hid in the closet. And his little brother came up and said, what's wrong? He said, man, they in there, they can't find God and they think we did it. And you know what? There are some people who are asking, where is God? And guess what? When God can't be found, it ain't because he lost. When God can't be found, when it feel like, listen, I can't, where is God? It ain't because, listen, he's gone anywhere. It's usually because we done gone off track. And I'm here to tell you, he's promised to be your constant companion. He ain't never going to leave you. Job knew it. Job said, listen, Job understood that, Lord, I look for you in the east, look for you in the west. I didn't see you, but I know you know the way that I take. And when you finish with me, God, I'm going to come forth as gold. God being with us, you can know, you can enjoy that he's your constant companion. He's going to walk with you no matter what you're going through, no matter how heavy the burden is. He won't leave you. He said, I won't leave you or forsake you. He said, Lord, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. God said, and you know what? When he keeps a promise, he's a promise-keeping God. He's going to do what he said. So I'm here to tell you, today, when it doesn't feel like God is there, he's still there. He's still there. He's working in, and sometimes he has you in the dark places. He has you in wilderness places because he's still working behind the scenes, but he promised never to leave you. That's what God with us means. Just imagine, would he go through all of that? Would the God of the universe step out of eternity into time just to leave me? He'll never leave you. God is here. Somebody say he's here one more time. Because he's here, I have hope for my future. I know that this life ain't it, that I got a building not made with hands, that when I leave this life, when this earthly house is destroyed, I'll go to be seated with him. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. That's something that'll affect the way I live every day. I can experience intimacy with him, walk with him. I got access. I can know that, listen, he knows me, and I'm known by God, and I can know God. My sins have been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. You don't have to walk around with guilt, the weight of guilt of your past anymore. He said, what sin? What sin? Listen, I love it. Darryl Coley said, he's already forgotten what I can't forget. He's already forgotten what I can't forget. And then to know today that you can enjoy having the God of the universe as your constant companion. That's big. You ought to shout on that. You ought to shout on that. Can you stand with me? I'm done. I'm done. Can you stand with me? You ought to shout on the fact that the God of the universe, the one who hung the stars in space, is with me every moment of my every day. He's your constant companion. He is here. Next week, I'm excited. We look in this passage in Matthew chapter 1, and we see that God is with us. But before we got to that verse in verse 23, we hear the story of a man who had a fiance who came up pregnant and he didn't do it. You talk about baby mama drama. That, we're going to get into that next week as we talk about God being with us. But before we come next week, let us just rejoice in the fact that he's here. And I pray that as you go out this week, that you remind yourself of the significance of him being God with us. And it'd be a cause of worship for you every single day. That you draw encouragement from it, even in dark times, and know he's your companion. Then even when you feel the enemy trying to bring up your sin and your past, and know, he's removed the sin and guilt from me. I don't have to walk in that anymore. He's here. Amen? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord God, because we have a hope for our future, help us to purify ourselves even as our Savior is pure. Help us, Lord God, to live a life in preparation for the next one. Help us to walk and use the access and the intimacy that is now made possible, Lord, to know God, to know you, and to be known by you. Lord, help us to use that access. And I pray, Lord God, for anybody today who is walking in guilt from the sins of their past, help them to know that, Lord God, Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that he might remove our sins, so that he might die on a cross to pay for their sins, and that you will remember them no more. Pray for somebody who's never come to accept this Savior as Lord of their life and to experience the forgiveness of sin. I pray if there's somebody today who's never experienced that, never accepted Christ, our Lord God, as Savior of their lives, Lord, I pray that they'll do so today. And as we go from this place and we walk this week, Lord, help us to remind ourselves that you're our constant companion. And because you're our constant companion, Lord God, we know we can walk in your strength. But also because you're our constant companion, Lord, we ought to live different because you're with us. Lord, help us to live our lives, Lord, and be careful, little feet, where we go, because wherever we go, we take you with us. We praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. This morning, if there's somebody here who's never accepted Emmanuel as Savior and Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ as Savior today, to have your sins forgiven if you've never done that. Jesus Christ became man. He lived on this earth so that he could restore you to the relationship God designed you for. God created you to be in intimate relationship with him, but that relationship was broken because you and I are sinners. That means we simply fall short. God is perfect and we're not. That's what a sinner means. And God said he loves you, but he cannot, because he's perfect, he cannot allow sin in his presence. But he wants a relationship with you so bad that he made a way to pay for your sins. What did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be the sacrifice to pay for your sins. And he says in his word that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You can have your sins forgiven. If today you've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life and you'd like to do that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you ain't perfect. It simply says, God, I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. A, that's A. B, believe that Jesus Christ is the solution for your sin. Believe that he lived, that he died, that he buried, and he rose again to make you right with God. C, choose him to be Savior and Lord of your life. It's ABC. If you do that, he said, and I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. If you've never done that, or you're not certain if you can remember a time when you've done that, I'm going to pray a prayer of invitation, a very simple prayer. It's no magic in the words. It's just in the idea. I want to pray this prayer. And I want you, if you would like to accept Christ as Savior and Lord, if you'd like to accept Emmanuel as your Savior, to have your sins forgiven so that you can be in right relationship with God, could you repeat this prayer after me silently? You don't have to do it out loud. You can silently to yourself. Just say this. Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and he rose again to make me right with you. Today, I choose Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Come into my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give somebody a round of applause this morning? Amen. I don't know if you're here or if you're at home, but if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Amen. And we want to love on you, and we want to show you what you need to do next to grow in your walk with God and your relationship with God. on the screen, there are some links right there that you can go to find out what to do next. You can text the word next to 301-804-2520, or you can go on our website, encounterchurch.net/next. And then right there on that form, you can say, look, give us your name, your email address, and say, I accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. That same form for anybody else. I'm going to pray for somebody else today that said, listen, I've accepted Christ, but I need prayer. You can go right to that link right there and say, I'm in need of prayer. I want to know how to be involved in a Bible study. I'm looking for a church home. You can go right on that link right there as well. Amen. Can I pray for the rest of us that we remember this week that God is here and that he's here, what that implication means for our life. Dear God, we thank you for being with us. And Lord, help us to walk into the assurance of your power moment by moment. Lord, help us to have joy in our soul to know that our guilt has been removed. To, Lord, know that we got a hope in glory and that, Lord, we can have access to you and that you walk with us moment by moment. Lord, keep us, Lord, from losing sight of that, even in the midst of this season where everybody else is focusing on other things. Help us to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.